In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters in Christ, our time of preparation during our Advent season is almost at an end. During the season of Advent, through prayer and fasting, through frequent recourse, if necessary, to the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, we have prepared ourselves for the coming of our Lord and Savior, having opened up heart and mind to receive the gift that is the Word made flesh. The time of our Advent journey is, in a sense, a serious time, especially a penitential time, precisely to make sure that we have tilled the soil of our souls in preparation for the gift that is our Lord. But Advent, as we know, gives way to the celebration of Christmas. And with the joy of the Christmas season, as we celebrate and join in the voices of calling to mind the mystery of our Lord made flesh among us, our time of penance gives way to joy and to peace. Our time of preparation gives way to contemplation. No longer are we solely in a disposition of looking at ourselves, but more pointedly, we are looking at the Lord, peering upon the face of God himself as he has now taken flesh and chose to dwell among us. No longer should there be a sadness, if you will, or a downcastness to our visage or to our hearts, but instead a true sense of joy and a true sense of peace that comes from who God is, but more importantly, that he who is God has chosen to make his dwelling among us. The prophet Micah, in his own words about the preparation for the coming of the Emmanuel, God with us, says that when he comes, he will be peace. Not only that he will bring peace with him, which of course he does, not solely that he is the Prince of Peace, which indeed he is, but that he will bring, that he is peace itself. He is the embodiment, the incarnation of peace and truth and love and mercy. All those things that truly rest in the very depths of our hearts, those things that we desire, those things for which we search, that we know are only going to give true, authentic meaning to who we are and how we live in the world, they are found in Christ. And in the Word made flesh, they are tangible and they are among us. He is peace, the prophet says, which means concretely for us that we need to be men and women of that same peace. Precisely because each time we come forward and we present ourselves for Holy Communion, we are receiving peace himself. Not just merely the theology or the theory of peace, not just a peace that may be, but a peace that actually is, because he is peace. From this very spot, on many occasions, I have spoken to you, I have warned and cajoled and prepared you for the difficulties of living our Catholic faith in the world, the difficulties we encounter because of the world itself and its rejection of God. But now those realities have gone into and seeped into the very fabric of the life of the Church herself. I've talked so oftentimes that I wonder, and I hope I have not discouraged you or overwhelmed you by the picture that I have presented, hopefully in presenting the truth, having prepared you for the reality that we must confront. But as serious as those issues are, and they remain serious and they remain before us, those issues give way and are overshadowed by the peace that is Christ that has come into the world. This does not mean, brothers and sisters, that we bury our heads in the sand, that the difficulties with which we are contending in the world and in the church simply go away and disappear. Those things that we struggle with personally, whatever those issues may be that we confront, whether they be of our own making or our responses to the world in which we find ourselves, whatever it is with which we struggle, and oftentimes the darkness that can overwhelm us with the struggles that we are asked to endure, they give way to the light that is Christ. This is not pious platitude. And nor is it merely spiritual exhortation to lift us up. It is both of those things, pious platitude and exhortation to lift us up, but it is also the truth by which we govern our lives. After all of this preparation that we have gone through, seemingly becomes empty and hollow if it doesn't give way to the joy that is Christ, the Word made flesh. And if we then do not become men and women of a constant and fervent peace, a peace that rests literally in the very fabric of who we are, what this looks like for us concretely is not that all of our problems will disappear on Christmas morning. We know from many spiritual writers that the closer we grow to the Lord, the more we embrace, embody, and live this peace, the more Satan will indeed attack us. So we shouldn't assume that this peace will mean an absence of difficulty. But what this peace does mean is that I know that I am fully armed and prepared to do battle with any and all things that come my way. And I'm able to walk the straight and narrow path that will only and always lead me to the Lord. My strength, my vindication, my power, and my might come in God and in Him alone. I would be a poor pastor if I ever left you with the impression or the experience or the feeling that we don't have all that we need in order to conquer all the things that we are asked to confront. This is what we are celebrating. This is the wisdom and the beauty of God, making manifest our salvation in the arms of Our Lady, the baby that she holds, who is helpless and frail. And yet He, the child upon whom we peer in His mother's arms, is indeed our vindication, our strength, and our might. This is what the world does not understand. This is what the world rejects. How can a baby have so much power? How can God become one with us in all things but sin? Why would God choose to do all the things that He has done for us? But those are all the wrong questions that arrive at the wrong answers. The only question that truly rests before us is how much more deeply can I enter into the mystery that God has unfolded for me? And what must I do to continue to adequately prepare myself and open up my heart to receive the peace and the joy and the comfort and the power and the might that come with the Word made flesh? There is still time in our Advent journey to ask these questions, and time still to root out what needs to be rooted out in order that you can be best prepared for the reception of He who is our King coming among us. But then there also must be a commitment and a resolve to become men and women of peace. Not a peace of your own making, not a peace crafted by politics, politicians, or governments, but a peace that comes only from Christ. With that peace comes joy. With that joy comes a solidity and a confidence to do whatever it is that God commands us to do. It allows our hearts to be very much like the heart and the soul of our Blessed Mother that gave fitting glory and praise to God. The words of the prophet Isaiah remind us that mankind will see the salvation of God, and indeed we are truly blessed to have that fulfilled. Soon our King will be with us. In the hours that remain, let us adequately, sufficiently prepare ourselves to accept He who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who is our Prince of abiding peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.